December 17 marks a very significant shift in the liturgy, in the Advent season. It's almost like a new season, but it's really an extension of Advent, or you could say an intensification of Advent, the second phase of the Advent season. The first phase it gives us a series of prophecies, usually from Isaiah the prophet, and then Jesus in his public ministry fulfilling the prophecies. But when we get to December 17, and from now until December 24, an octave, we focus on the prophecies that point to the entry of the Messiah into time, his birth, his family lineage, his parents, this sort of thing. And then we read from the so-called infancy narratives in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. So this is like an octave, which in liturgical tradition is a significant period of time. There's an octave. This is not a formal octave, but it's a special stage. There is an octave of Christmas, as you know. There's an octave of Easter. So now in the devotional tradition of the church, we are more familiar with novenas, which are 9 days. That's why the Simbangami tradition is 9 days and not an octave. So even though this is the first day of this new stage of Advent, it's the second day of the novena, if you're following the Simbangami novena. So we start at the very beginning. We go to the very first words of the New Testament, the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, and we read from the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, his family history. There's a lot to the genealogy. I know a lot of people don't like it, and people don't like to preach about it, but every year I think I get more out of it. I find it so fascinating that we have this very human record of the people into whom God inserted himself. The first reading also it mentions the roots of the Messiah. This goes back to Jacob. Remember, Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then Jacob's son, Judah, one of the 12, is the line, the house from which the Messiah will come. That's why he's known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Judah's the great-grandson of Abraham. So you can see we're talking about family history here. And that's laid out in greater detail by Matthew. Perhaps part of the reason why this is striking to me is because today is also the anniversary of my own baptism. I say this every year, but I can't help it. I have to celebrate my own spiritual genealogy. I was baptized on December 17, 1961, so this is my 63rd birthday as a Christian. And I give thanks to God for the gift of the faith, for being given the gift of entry into the church when I was only 11 days old. And I give thanks that my parents took the initiative to bring me to the church to be baptized. I'm not even sure if my mother was Catholic yet. I don't know exactly when she became a Catholic, but anyway, they gave me this gift, so thanks be to God for that. Now, as I was reflecting on the genealogy, naturally, I kept shifting back to my own genealogy. I can't help it, and I think it's a good thing for us to do, because this is a way for us to get to know Jesus, is to say, well, he entered into the human family, he entered into a human history, into a period of history, into a culture. He spoke a language, he ate certain foods, he grew up with neighbors, just like all of us. So to reflect on the incarnation is to also reflect on what it means to be human. Now, Jesus has two natures. If you want to start with his divine nature, it's a lot simpler, even though much more profound. Where does God come from? Well, he doesn't come from anyone. He is himself. He is. He is. He is eternal. But this, looking into the marvel of the communitarian nature of God, the Trinity, we know that the Son comes from the Father. The Son comes eternally from the Father. We think of fathers and sons as being different ages, you know. My father was almost 27 when I was born. He was almost to his 27th birthday. That's typical, right? Fathers are usually about 20 or 30 years older than their children. But that's not the way it is in God. The Father and the Son, well, they don't have any age. They're eternal. And so you could say they're the same age, but the Father and the Son. But the Son is eternally begotten of the Father. So if we want to go into his Jesus' divine genealogy, he's eternally begotten of the Father. If we look at Jesus, he looks exactly like the Father. We wouldn't even, can't even tell them apart, other than the fact that he is from the Father. Okay, so that's as much as we can do when it comes to that nature, the divine nature. But when we get to the human nature, oh, it's much more complicated, because the human family unfolds in time, and there's lots of characters, good and bad. So we read this list of names, and most of them we don't know, but some of them are great figures of faith and power, and kings and prophets, and some of them are, well, maybe not so good. There's even a mention in Matthew's genealogy of a number of women who are in irregular situations. One of them was a prostitute, Rahab. No, so if you look into your genealogy, you might find a prostitute. Probably all of us do. And we might find kings. I think I've shared to you before, I have way back 15 generations ago, my 15 times great-grandmother was in some kind of royal family in England, and she was martyred under King Henry VIII. Blessed Margaret Pole. So we all have, this is the human family, this mixture of greatness, holiness, and sinfulness and weakness. It's a mess, complicated mess. And that's what Jesus entered into. His human roots are connected to our human roots all the way back to the first human couple. Now, as I was reflecting on this, naturally I thought of my own baptism. I looked at my baptismal certificate last night. I was baptized in the Church of the Holy Childhood. We would call it now Holy Childhood Parish, but on the certificate it says Church of the Holy Childhood by Father John Buchanan. On Sunday, I happened to run across one of the other Courage chaplains, Father William, and he was on his way to go visit the priest that baptized him. I said, well, good. I don't remember if he gave me his name, but he's a Manila, you know, retired priest in the Archdiocese of Manila. And so Father William was going to go visit him in the retirement home. Beautiful. He was 89 years old. So I started to think about the priest who baptized me. I never thought of him before. I never thought of his name, Father John Buchanan. So I decided, okay, this is the age of Google search. I'll just look him up on Google. You know, maybe I can find out something about him. I was hoping he wouldn't be, you know, a renegade or a scandalous priest or something. Turns out it was very easy to find out about Father John Buchanan. He's quite a figure. He was the founding pastor. In the United States, the parish priest is known as a pastor, you know that. So a pastor in the United States is a parish priest in the Philippines. Anyway, so he was the founding pastor of the Holy Childhood Parish. The parish was founded in 1946. And it turns out that Father John was a war hero in World War II. He was a young priest in 1941 when the World War II broke out, or at least affected the United States. And the bishop, the archbishop of that archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, told his priests if any of them wanted to volunteer to be military chaplains, that after they got home from the war, they would be given their own parish. So, you know, in those days, you know, a man didn't become a pastor maybe till he was 60 years old, because it took a long time to rise up to the rank of a pastor. So Archbishop told his priests, if anyone wants to volunteer to be a military chaplain, when you get home, you get your own parish. So the first local volunteer was Father John, who was a young associate in Minneapolis, went off to the war. He accompanied the troops in Normandy in the Battle of the Bulge. He won a Silver Star for heroism in the battlefield because he cared for wounded soldiers. Came back home after the war, 1945. By 1946, he'd given a parish, Holy Charlotte, but it didn't exist. It was just an empty field. So he had to start from scratch and then built the parish where I was baptized in 1961. And he remained the pastor for 40 years. I guess until he retired. Very well known priest. And I thought, oh, beautiful, beautiful. I was thinking if it was in the Philippines, that parish would be called Santo Niño, because Holy Childhood in the States is Santo Niño in the Philippines. I never heard of Santo Niño in my life until I came to the Philippines. Turns out my roots, my spiritual roots, are connected to Santo Niño, Holy Childhood. Okay. So as I was doing this research and I looked up Holy Childhood Parish, the current pastor, Father Andrew Brinkman, his name sounded very familiar to me. I said, I think I've met that priest. I went back into my notes. Sure enough, back in 2013, when I was visiting my home parish where I grew up, Father Andrew was a newly ordained priest, and he was assigned to that parish because the big parish, and a lot of times the new priests were assigned there to be trained. So I met him, and I was very impressed with him. Beautiful, zealous, faithful priest. So now he's the parish priest of the parish where I was baptized. Now, why am I going into all this? Because this is how genealogies work, right? Once you start looking into your roots, you get all these connections to all these people who are part of God's plan for the building up of His kingdom. You have your own genealogy, you have your own parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, all the way back. And you have your own spiritual roots. Some priest baptized you too. Maybe you don't know who he is, you've never met him, except when you were baptized. Or maybe you know him, maybe you can go visit him someday, if he's still alive. Father John McKenna, of course, died years ago, I think before 2000 somewhere. Anyway, so this is the, you say, the raw material God works with. He's not afraid to enter into the messy, complicated situation of our lives in time as we journey through life and as we have our relationships and our family situations. No, he's right in the middle of it all. And this is where this genealogy of Jesus helps us get started to reflect on the incarnation. Yes, from now, from December 17th through the whole of the rest of Advent and the rest of the Christmas season, we'll be reflecting on who is this? Who is this? And to get to know someone in the human sense, we want to know their name, we want to know their family, we want to know their parents, we want to know when they were born, where they were born, we want to know what they did, who they related to, who they married, who their children are, and all these things. Well, this is what we do with Jesus, and this is a revelation of how God works in human life. Okay, so here we are. We were born of parents on a certain day in a certain place, and God determined that. God gave us to our families. We all have a human father and a human mother, and we're born at a certain time. Jesus, this is where the wonder comes in, he has a human mother, but he doesn't have a human father. Because when we get through the whole genealogy, we go up to Eleazar, Mathan, Jacob, Joseph, and then Joseph is the husband of Mary. He's not the father of Jesus. Of her was born Jesus. So Jesus is this marvelous unity of God and man. He's son of an eternal father, eternally. He's an eternal son. He's always been the son. But he's also the son of a human mother, and he was conceived and he was born at a certain time, at a certain place, to a certain woman, as human as we are, but as divine as the Father is. This is the mystery that we'll be exploring now for the rest of this season. It's a marvel. But it's not separate from us. It's not like God way off in the remote eternal distance in his almighty palace. No, it's God who becomes one of us and is with us every day, in every moment, in the messy situations of our human existence. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for the gift of faith. Thanks be to God for the gift of our parents, both our natural parents and our spiritual parents, our people who gave us the faith. And thanks be to God for this moment in which we can go closer to God and we can continue our journey in grace.